Gotcha. Go ahead. In my dream, we received an emergency order from DEFCOM. An enemy fleet was headed to Earth to bomb our homeworld with Elder weapons. My orders were to stop that fleet. My dilemma was if I followed orders, the colony would be wiped out. I knew Earth was not in danger from Elder weapons, but I couldn't tell anyone. Yeah, that's a crappy dream, I agreed. If something like that happened for real, what would you do? You can't go wrong by following orders. You can if following orders get civilian colonists killed for nothing. Not for nothing. To protect a secret. Ah, this is complicated. In the scenario you described, whether you go there or not, Earth would discover the enemy can't actually use their Elder weapons, so the secret would be out in the open anyway. She frowned. What if the enemy jumped into orbit and only threatened to use Elder weapons against Earth, and the UN surrendered? Reed, you can drive yourself crazy with what-ifs. I know that from painful personal experience. My advice is worry about that sort of thing if it ever happens. If it does happen, trust your gut. See, you missed out on bacon because you worried about what-ifs. My advice is focus on what you can control. Like how much bacon I should eat? You should ask yourself how much bacon can you eat? Chapter 30. We stopped at a Jarapta relay station to get an update on events in the galaxy, and I was hoping for a message from DEFCOM. On the bridge, I sat in the observer station along the bulkhead so Gasquet could be in the executive officer's chair next to Reed. We were not expecting to go into action, and I wanted to duck out of the bridge quickly to play basketball. Hey, maintaining fitness is important for any soldier. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And done, Skippy announced. I do not see any message traffic from DEFCOM that is directed at Task Force Black. And, nothing important going on at Earth as of 5 days ago. You monkeys can search for your super-important sports scores if I put the info on the ship's interweb? Yes, Skippy, thank you, Reed said. Transmit the crew messages from the queue, please. The crew were allowed to compose letters, audio messages, record video, and submit them to Skippy for encryption. We usually uploaded the compressed file whenever we visited a friendly relay station. Sometimes the messages reached Earth, Jaguar, Paradise, and other human-occupied planets before we did. Done. That was... No! No. Oh, why do these things happen to me? He groaned, taking off his ginormous holographic hat and stomping on it with both feet. Either the hat was tougher than it looked, or he hadn't bothered to program the avatar to account for physical damage, because the hat kept springing right back into shape. Skippy, I half stood with alarm. What is wrong? Reed didn't wait for an explanation. She was a believer in a better safe than sorry policy. She was also a strong believer in a shoot first and ask questions later policy. That's one reason we got along so well. Pilot jump option Delta, punch it! The ship jumped while Skippy continued to punish his hat. Skippy, I shouted. What is going on? What bad thing happened? Furious, he snatched his hat off the floor and jammed it back on his dome. Joe, this is something we should talk about in private. Reed turned toward me with what I interpreted as a here-we-go-again expression. We will hold position here, sir? Yeah, sure. Skippy, is the ship in any danger? No. Is Earth in danger? Or Jaguar? No and no. This is personal, Joe. We're not asking UN resources to bail out Skipway. It's not that at all. I'll be in your office. His avatar disappeared. Walking into my office, the door automatically closed behind me. That wasn't just a polite gesture by Skippy. He didn't want the crew to hear whatever sketchy shit he'd gotten into. What did you do this time? I asked as I sat heavily in the chair, leaning it back to look at the ceiling. Hey, I didn't do anything. Of course not. What thing did someone else do that you will unfairly be blamed for? I had better start at the beginning. You know that Skipway purchased an old, obsolete Jarapta Star Carrier? DEFCOM asked me what I knew about that about, 5 or 6 years ago. At the time, I knew nothing. Good. No, it is not good that your sleazy multi-level marketing scam company has an unregistered, untraceable starship. If you are concerned, why have you never asked me about it? If I ask, I will know, and if I know, I might have to do something about it. I have enough shit to deal with already. Why? Is this something I should be worried about? Until a few minutes ago, I would have said absolutely not. However, the situation has changed, and now millions of lives are at risk. An entire civilization could disappear, along with all the art, music, and poetry they have created. Wow, you know whenever poetry is threatened, I will spring into action. Oh, shut up, you uncultured cretin. Where is this civilization? This had better not be a virtual culture in that stupid SkipSim game you published. SkipSim is not stupid, Joe. Over 100 million monkeys log into the game's virtual reality environment every day. They love it. What they love is finding Easter eggs for a free tank of gas or discounts on groceries. Those sponsorship deals were a genius marketing idea. Listen, Dum-Dum, I am not talking about simulated people. I mean real meat sacks who are having their lives ruined and their very souls are in jeopardy. Their souls? Oh, is this about your fake religion? No. Besides, I sold that franchise years ago. You sold your religion? Well, of course not, knucklehead. All I sold were the rights associated with His Holiness Skippy Azumani. The copyright, websites, subscriber lists, all that. But I get spam email from the followers of Skippy Azumani. Who is His Holiness now? It's not a who, although people are involved, so I guess you could say who. It's currently being run by a conglomerate in Singapore. There was talk of the company going public, but the disclosure process would have been messy, so this is not about your religion, so how is anyone's soul in danger? This will go faster if you let me talk and you listen. Talk, beer can. Okay. So you know I have my own starship. Technically, it is owned and controlled by a Skipway subsidiary, but we can dispense with the legal bullshit. Why do you need a starship? You can't fly it yourself, and Valkyrie takes you anywhere you want to go. Is this you listening quietly so I can talk? Sorry, go on. After I bought it, I had the Beatles perform extensive modifications so it doesn't have a pressurized section for crew. The ship is entirely automated. It flies by itself. Basically, it is a cluster of large-capacity jump drives and big fuel tanks. I needed a ship capable of multiple long-range independent flights. All the ship needed to carry was a submind. One of your submines? Yes. Like Grumpy or Happy? Much more powerful than either of those two losers, he snorted. This new submind had to be capable of operating on its own for years, decades even, without contact with or supervision from me. You worried about the submind's soul? What? No, pay attention, please! Where did this ship go? I know from DEFCON intel reports that it hasn't been seen since it departed Jarapta space. Yes, and that is interesting. My ship did return 3 years ago, then it left on another flight. Now it is back again. DEFCON does not know about the remote servicing platform I set up. You monkeys are not even as smart as you think you are. Whatever. I don't expect DEFCON to keep track of every ship in the freaking galaxy. Come on, tell me. Where did your ship go? First, I need to give you some background. Is this like one of those recipes on the internet where first you have to read 50 pages about the chef's boring life story before you get to the list of ingredients? Okay, I'll give you the short version. In a star system far, far away, there was... This story sounds like I'll need a sandwich, a beer, and probably a nap first. There was an antenna! He scowled at me. It was, and still is, a long-range, deep-field passive survey system that was set up by the Maxalks around 160,000 years ago. Damn, I always forget how long this freaking war has been going on. Yes, it is a tragedy. Will you shut up, please? Go on. This antenna was supposed to collect information on an area of the galaxy's rim which does not have access provided by Elder Wormholes. The Maxalks were playing the long game, gathering information about inaccessible sections of the galaxy, so they would be ready if a wormhole shift opened in the area. Like how the Ruhar spent a lot of money to travel all the way to Earth long before Columbus Day and left stealth satellites there. Yes, except the Ruhar were concerned about how their enemies could take advantage of a shift, rather than exploiting the shift themselves. Also, that exploration campaign by the Ruhar was mostly a political exercise by an already unpopular government, and all those initiatives were cancelled after the next election. Okay, so the kiddies were preparing for a gold rush? It would be more accurate to describe it as a land rush, like what happened to Oklahoma in April of 1889. Right. So why should I care about this? The Maxalks were themselves disadvantaged by a wormhole shift around 146,000 years ago. That antenna array became so distant from the closest wormhole that it was impractical for the kitties to service it, so they wrote off their investment. The antenna continued to operate as best it could, and it is still collecting information today. That's amazing. The kitties are hateful assholes, but they're first-rate engineers. They do construct rugged, reliable machines, yes. Plus, the antenna was equipped with some level of automated servicing equipment. Anywho, the thing is still operating to some limited extent. Over the years, its transmitter's aiming mechanism failed. It stopped beaming data to the designated receiver point. What receiver? As a backup, in case the Maxalks lost access to it, the antenna was programmed to send data via a tight beam laser to a receiver dish in a star system 800 light-years away. So the kiddies weren't real concerned about having recent info. As I said, they play the long game. Right. Again, why is this important? Because 12 years ago, I discovered that a Torgula deep space antenna array had been picking up a data feed from an unknown star system. The data was encrypted in an ancient Maxalt scheme that was still beyond the ability of the Torgs to make sense of. Originally, I became interested in cracking the pathetically simple encryption as a way to show the Torgs what a bunch of dolts they are. I would say you're an ass for doing that, but the Torgs are universally considered to be a bunch of dicks, so they deserve it. That was my feeling about it. Anywho, when I read that data, I realized there was something interesting. The antenna, for the past 7,000 years, had focused its sensors on several promising star systems, and one in particular. It contains a roughly Earth-sized rocky world in the star's Goldilocks zone, with an oxygen-nitrogen atmosphere. Liquid water on the surface. Froze water at the poles, one moon that isn't big enough to stop the planet's axis from wobbling, but overall, a habitable world. I'll call my lawyer and put in an option to buy the place. Very funny, Joe, but you can't. That world is already occupied. Holy shit. You mean this place is like Earth? Far enough from a wormhole for long enough that intelligent life could develop without being conquered or wiped out? Yes, exactly. If the Maxalks had received the antenna's data, they might have decided to send a long-range mission there. For a first contact scenario? Yes, but since it's the Maxalks we're talking about, they would have studied the local intelligent species. If the locals might be useful, they would have been enslaved. If they weren't considered valuable, the kitties would likely have saturated the surface with deadly bioengineered viruses and microbes to eliminate a complication. Remind me of this if I ever am tempted to go soft on the Maxalks. I will be certain to do that. The antenna. How did it know there are intelligent beings on this planet? It picked up radio signals? No. Okay, then, it detected the signature of artificial chemicals in the atmosphere? The inhabitants have a Stone Age technology level. I was out of guesses, so just tell me. Light sources on the night side of the world. Come on, those could be wildfires or volcanoes. True, except these light sources did not move over many days, weeks, or even years, and the light was the wrong spectrum for a volcano. With sudden understanding, I snapped my fingers. Campfires? Those, or villages? Many of the artificial light sources are clustered together, which indicates a settlement of some sort. This antenna can see a freaking campfire across several light years? This antenna array is able to detect a small light source over a distance of several thousand light years. Holy wow. That is impressive. What I described as an antenna is actually a cluster of more than 400 antennas networked together across a disk 12 light minutes in diameter. The Maxalks and the Rindaloo have telescopes that are even more capable. Cool. The limitation of that technology is the speed of light? Correct. When I decrypted the data, I discovered the Torgula first received a tight beam feed 64 years ago. Apparently, the transmitter just happened to be pointed toward that star system then. Based on the decreasing signal strength, I expect the beam will move on and point into empty space within 14 years. So it's lucky the Torgs picked up the signal. It is. The star system inhabited by the unknown intelligent species is located 2,700 light-years from the antenna, and the Torg star system is almost 900 light-years from the antenna. The most recent data received by the Torgs was 3,600 years out of date. You discovered this data feed 12 years ago? Why didn't you tell me? Oh, we were kind of busy slaying dragons at the time, Joe. I didn't want to distract you. Oh. All right. than the... Also, I didn't want to listen to you whining about morality, he gagged. Blah, blah, blah. Skippy, I had a bad feeling right then. What the hell did you do? Hey, I'm the good guy in this story. You're telling the story, so of course you think you are. At my own expense, I purchased a starship and had it outfitted for a long-range flight. It flew on its own a distance of 2,600 light-years, that's the closest wormhole, and went into orbit. Drones landed and sampled the biosphere. Stealth drones observed the native species. My submind performed a very thorough survey. The ship then returned to report its findings and to be serviced at a remote station set up by the Jurapha. I'm not happy you concealed all this information from me until now, but what did your ship find? The inhabitants were still in a Stone Age existence. They had not discovered how to smelt metals, so their tools were made of wood or stone. In some more advanced areas, they did have copper and gold, but they simply found veins of relatively pure metal and beat it into shape, mostly for jewelry and other decorative uses. What are they like? What do they call themselves? I call them the Porcines. They, of course, have many names for their species, since they exist in bands of hunter-gatherers or small villages based on primitive agriculture. The total population of 4 million Porcines is spread across 3 of the 4 continents. The 5th continent is isolated by 2 large and deep oceans. My submind counted 1,100 different languages being spoken, and that doesn't include regional dialects. Okay, are they insects, birds, mammals, what? The closest analogy is pigs. Pigs. Yes, that is why I refer to them as being Porcines. Get it? Right. Pigs, huh? Wild boar is probably a more accurate analogy. They're on average 1.5 meters tall and more than 1 meter wide. You would think they are rather stout for their height. They stand on 2 legs with hoofed feet. Their arms have 4 fingers tipped with vestigial hooves. Their wide, flat noses are instantly recognizable as pig-like. They wear primitive clothing, but their bodies are covered with fur. That has to be itchy under clothes in hot weather. I can always count on you to focus on what is truly important. I guess Porcine is better than calling them swine. Why? The word swine has kind of a bad connotation to it. Well, you should have told me that before I named the planet Swinonia, knucklehead. Would something like Bacondia have been better? I think that would be seriously considered offensive. Ugh, this is such a pain in the ass. Just change the name. I can't do that now. Why not? It's just an entry in a database or something, right? It was just a database entry before my submind taught the names Porcine and Swinonia to the locals. It did what? They needed to communicate with me, or my submind, so I had to teach them a new common language I invented. You created a language? Mostly. It's based on Dwarvish from Lord of the Rings. So you ripped off Tolkien. His estate can sue me. I'm pretty sure copyright law doesn't apply near the rim of the galaxy. Skippy, you should have just let the Porcines alone. What you did has to be a violation of the Prime Directive. That's a rule from a TV show, numbskull. It's not a real thing. It should be. Wow, well, if you don't like me teaching them a language, you really won't be happy about the other things I did. Skippy, I already have enough shit to worry about. What did you do? They already had fire, and they knew how to make bricks and crude pottery. Also, they had basic agriculture. They set up and maintained orchards. They planted seasonal crops, that sort of thing. But their technology and societies had been stuck for over 36,000 years. The planet is subjected to periods of high volcanic activity roughly every 1,700 years, when another planet with an elliptical orbit comes close to Swinonia. When that happens, volcanoes erupt and fill the atmosphere with dust and gases that call the surface, triggering mini ice ages. Whenever that happens, the Porcine population crashes, civilization is disrupted, and much knowledge is lost. Basically, the poor creatures have to start over every 2,000 years. That sucks. Your eloquent words have perfectly captured the tragedy of the situation. You know what I mean, you ass. To help the Porcines, because I'm all about helping, Joe, I had my submind teach them how to smelt metals so they can make better tools. My submind also gave them genetically modified crops to ensure greater yields, and so their staple crops will be more hardy to cope with variable climate conditions. That all sounds good. I'm afraid you might run into our old friend the Law of Unintended Consequences. Hey, that has already happened. I taught the piggies to mine ore and smelt metals and to grow better crops. Did they make agricultural tools so they can take advantage of their new ability to grow food? Yes. But many more of them made spears and swords and bows and arrows for the purpose of raiding the farmers in the next village and stealing the crops. Meat sacks are the worst, Skippy. Tell me about it. It is impressive that in only a few years they invented so many metal weapons. A chill ran up my spine. You little shithead, what did you do? Hey, someone had to do something. When the peaceful, well, mostly peaceful farmers of one village were victimized by a bunch of ungrateful assholes from another village, I taught the farmers how to defend themselves. Like, after the raiders attacked with spears and swords, I taught the farmers how to make and use a bow and arrow. That can only lead to worse trouble. Well, I know that now, dum-dum. The raiders copied the design of the bow, so I armed the farmers with compound bows. Oh my. This is not going to end well. It would have been okay if I had stopped there, but the next step was teaching them to make gunpowder, and, leaning forward to bonk my head on the desk, I muttered, "Please tell me this is just a story about bad things that could happen." I wish. I have no idea how this situation could have spiraled out of control so quickly. I have an idea how that happened. Oh, shut up. Are you going to help or not? Help how? It sounds like you've already helped way too much. Why the hell did you even do this?
I had to. I couldn't trust the job to anyone else. Someone else might have gotten it wrong.
You did get it wrong. You didn't need to do anything.
Yes, I did. Joe, what I haven't told you is the wormhole network in the area that encompasses Swinonia will experience a major shift in only 103 years. I can delay the shift a bit, but when it happens, the primitive inhabitants of that unfortunate world will be at the mercy of the Wirgalin, since it will legally be their territory. The Squids took the Urgar on as clients, and I don't need to remind you what happened. The Urgars were enslaved and nearly went extinct, yeah, I know. Okay, this changes things. You care about the Porcines, and are concerned they will be exploited by a species with advanced technology? I figured they will be exploited by someone, and it might as well be me, right? I can't. I stared at him, sputtering. You little... But let's go with the care and concern thing, if that makes me look better. I can't believe you have met me, haven't you? I regret it every day, but yes. Are you going to help or not? I can't make the pigs unlearn how to make gunpowder, so what do you expect me to do about this? The gunpowder thing is just the tip of the iceberg, or I wouldn't be telling you about this mess. I don't want to tell you at all. It is very embarrassing. At least you're embarrassed about it. Embarrassed? I am humiliated and enraged. The reputation I carefully built has been destroyed. How? That doesn't make any sense. Only I know about this, so how could your rep... I'm talking about my reputation among my faithful followers on Swinonia. They used to worship Skippy as a peaceful, loving god, but I just... Oh, it... Just don't talk for a minute. I pressed my forehead against the desk and my eyes tightly closed. I shushed him. Not yet. You... I jabbed a finger in the air. Blessedly, he fell silent. 5 breaths. Following my mother's advice, I counted to 5 while I took deep breaths. Then, with a clear, calm head, I was ready to shove him out an airlock. Though I should probably hear his side of the story first. Don't talk, please. Let me see if I understand the situation. You sent a submine to this pig planet, not to protect the inhabitants, but to become their god? The position was vacant, dum-dum. It's not like I was stealing anyone's. Instead of protecting and serving your followers, you exploited them and gave them deadly weapons. Okay, so in hindsight, that part was a mistake, but I did protect and serve, Joe. The yield of their staple crops has increased 7 times, which made those productive fields a nice, fat target for anyone with a sword or a spear. Sure, it's easy to see that now. I also did things that are unquestionably beneficial. For example, my priests gave the public advance notice about droughts or floods I forecasted. That saved lives, Joe. Also, several times I had my priests warn about approaching tornadoes so people could take shelter. All right, that was a good thing. It was a great thing. The best recruiting tool ever. Recruit? How did that the priests who worshipped Skippy were able to predict disasters while pagan priests who worshipped the local sun or a statue made of mud were revealed to be ignorant numbskulls? The Lord God Skippy delivers solid results.
I truly do not believe this. He blinked.
You think I can't predict a simple drought?
That is not the point, and you know it.
You might not understand the concept of a benevolent overlord.
Oh, I understand it.
The you monkeys certainly have flourished since I became your benevolent overlord.
You are not our overlord.
Really, Joe, really?
Shit, can we talk about that later? I'm not understanding what you see as a problem. How is being a fake god embarrassing to you?
It's embarrassing because my submind there has totally gone off its programming. Instead of Skippy being a benevolent god, the report I just received states my submind is now playing the part of a vengeful, arrogant deity who demands slavish obedience. The name of Skippy is now hated and feared by the population.
I can't imagine how any submind programmed by you could be arrogant.
Oh, shut up! This is a serious situation! I don't understand it, Joe. First grumpy, then happy. Now my submind at Swinonia are all dicks! How could that happen?
Yeah, that's a head-scratcher for sure.
Shut up!
Okay, if you don't want my help, then Joe, I'm dying here.
You have to fix this.
What can I do? Your special long-range starship just returned, right? It takes years to fly that distance.
It takes years to fly there. I can create a shortcut to a dormant wormhole that is only 15 light-years away.
Oh, I said. Shit. I had expected I wouldn't need to do anything, since there wasn't anything I could do.
That's, good.
Sort of. By waking up that dormant wormhole, I will be starting a process that will result in triggering the wormhole shift early.
Oh, we shouldn't do that, then, I muttered, hoping to escape the mess.
It's the lesser of two evils. We should go now.
We're not going at all.
We have to, he whined.
Is that because you want to unwind all the horrible things you've done to the piggies, or because you're upset that your followers hate you?
Why can't it be both?
He stomped his little foot.
I can't even explain this to you. What are the consequences if we just leave your submind alone?
His avatar shuddered.
This thing is out of control. It wasn't my idea to give the natives the ability to use gunpowder. All I did was instruct that those who worship the Lord God Skippy in their hearts should be given blessings.
Like cannons.
The piggies in the village were taught how to use gunpowder so they could defend themselves.
Right. Why did they need cannons, particularly?
Because the piggies in another nearby village were faithful to Skippy in their hearts, so they were given compound bows.
You're right. No one could have foreseen that your simple instructions would lead to trouble.
Oh, shut up! It happened. It's done. Let me put it this way, Joe. You don't have to go there. But I do. Although, a heavy sigh. Fixing this mess is more your thing than mine.
Whoa. I never pretended to be a god. I meant dealing with meat sacks is your thing.
All right, Skippy. I agree this is a huge freaking mess, and something should be done. I can ask DEFCOM for-
No, you can't tell anyone about this.
Do what you tell me, Joe. Think about it. What will be the result if the people of your homeworld hear that an entire planet full of intelligent beings are in desperate need of spiritual guidance?
Shit. They will all want to interfere.
Exactly. Every priest, minister, imam, rabbi, and whoever will demand to get on a ship and make sure the piggies received what they think is the proper sort of enlightenment.
That would be an even bigger mess.
Huh. You genuinely care about your followers?
I actually just don't want any competition, but let's go with the genuine caring thing.
I don't even know why I bother talking with you sometimes.
I regret talking with you most of the time. It only makes me dumber.
We are engaged in a fight for the future of the galaxy. I can't just take Valkyrie on a secret mission and not tell anyone. The crew will know.
No, they will not.
Unless they all wear blindfolds, that no blindfolds needed. Tell Colonel Reed you must take me on an ultra-secret mission, just you and me. I will provide coordinates for the automated servicing facility where my ship is now. Valkyrie can jump into the star system. We take a dropship, and Valkyrie jumps away to wait for a signal. You will need a dropship and plenty of supplies because my ship has no life support system.
How long a trip will this be?
Just over 5 days, plus however long we need in orbit around Swinonia to fix the problem. 5 days minimum while I am out of action, and the galaxy could be burning.
You have the wrong attitude about this, knucklehead. 5 days of peace and quiet, during which you can dream up a plan to find and kill the outsider.
Oh, well, sure, that should be no problem. It's not that easy. It is not easy at all, or I could do it. Listen, numbskull, I'm gonna slap some praise on you, so pay attention. We make a great team. Like Batman and Robin, I'm Batman, in case you're wondering. I figured that out by myself, thanks. My point is, we each have our strengths, and together, we are better than we each are by ourselves. Joe, I am extremely awesome.
Wow, I wish you had mentioned this before.
This is me praising you, jackass.
Sorry.
By myself, I am awesome. With you, I am magnificent. The combination of you and me is magic, Joe. We kick ass.
We do.
Right. So if we are ever going to defeat a threat that stumped the elders, you need to dream up a plan. The plan. The greatest ever plan that bubbled up out of that sack of mush in your skull.
I have some tips on being better at giving praise, if you like.
Can we just focus on the problem? Consider this, Dum-Dum. Currently, you have no plan. You don't even have a basis for making a plan. You don't know where the outsider is, what it wants. You don't know anything important about its nature. This time, you have to make a plan based on zero information and having absolutely no idea what you're doing.
That kind of magic usually is done by a second lieutenant.
Whatevs. Tell me, what are the odds you will think up a plan in the next 7 days if you keep doing what you're doing? If you're not going to Swinonia, what are you doing next?
He had me, and he knew it. Other than going back to Earth and waiting to react to the outsider again, there wasn't anything on my schedule.
I will do this for you. Yes! He pumped a fist. As a favor. I will expect a favor from you in return.
What favor?
I don't know yet. Someday, and that day may never come, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
This does not sound like a good deal for me.
Take it or leave it, beer can.
This sucks.
Fine, you have a deal. Should I program a jump?
Yes, but don't load it into the nav system yet. I need to talk with Reed.
Seriously? What part of not telling anyone do you not understand?
Relax. I'm only telling her what she needs to know. This is her ship.
Skippy went away. I asked Reed to come to my office.
Trouble, sir? She asked as she sat down.
You have no idea. This is not trouble for you, or DEFCON, or even humanity. Yet. It could become a thing, hopefully not in my lifetime. Skippy created a mess, and I need your help. I can't tell you what it is, you can never ask me about it later, and we're gonna help some people.
She nodded.
You're taking my ship?
No, I just need a ride to another ship. Once we get there, I'm flying away in a dropship. I expect to be gone 6-7 days tops.
Better stock the dropship with 30 days of supplies in case of unexpected events.
You can't give me a hint, sir?
You really don't want to know about this.
It's my job to know, she insisted.
She was hurt, understandably, especially after we had a long and painful discussion about me reading her into secrets.
The situation is not even close to being within your scope of responsibility.
Skippy screwed up. I have to go see if I can limit the damage, that's all.
I'm asking you to trust me.
You're not trusting me, sir.
We've worked together for years. I'm telling you as a colleague, as a friend, you want deniability for this.
She raised an eyebrow.
That bad?
This is classic Skippy being Skippy.
That bad? She nodded.
You will be alone with Skippy for up to 7 days.
I'm just thrilled about it.
You might want to sneak a bottle of bourbon aboard the dropship, sir.
Chapter 31 4 hours before we arrived in orbit over Swinonia, we...
In my head, I thought of the planet as Pigpen and the natives as Piggies. Yes, that was disrespectful. I'm a bad, awful, terrible person. Still, a much better person than Skippy, so I've got that going for me. Anyway... There were only 4 hours before we arrived at the planet, and I would need to present a solution.
It would be nice to say I had considered the problem and developed a range of options, depending on the situation we found there. The truth is, I had no clue what we should do that wouldn't only make the situation worse. Leaving any sort of submine there was not an option. Skippy's submines never worked the way he wanted them to. He had agreed to lock down the submine and to kill it later if we didn't need the thing to do whatever we could do repair some of the damage. Disgusted, I swept the cards together, shuffled them, and started a new game of solitaire. That game was available on my phone, my tablet, or any of the dropship's displays. I preferred to using physical cards. Each game took longer that way. I had a lot of time to kill and almost nothing to do. Repeatedly dealing out the cards, sweeping them together, and shuffling the deck was a mindless activity that allowed my mind to wander, usually engaging my subconscious helping in solving problems. So far on my latest magical mystery tour with Skippy, I had not been inspired to solve any problem at all. Darn it. Another loss. Skippy, is that 27 games in a row I've lost? 28. Really, 29, if you count the game you started over when you saw the first two cards were red twos. 29 losses in a row? How is that possible? Perhaps you suck at this game? Thank you so much for being supportive. I mean, an actual monkey would have won a game by now, so am I not shuffling these cards enough? One reason I played with physical cards was to assure the beer can couldn't screw with me by hacking the software. You know how when you're playing a solitaire app on your phone and you've lost several games, you start an easy game and know you're gonna win? That's the app letting you win so you'll not get discouraged and stop playing. Skippy does that, except he yanks the rug out from under me at the last moment and I lose anyway despite the odds being hugely in my favor. Huh. That's what had been going on that day. Just when I thought I would win, a card I needed was locked way where I couldn't get to it. My luck was awful. It had to be luck. Even if the cards were marked, that wouldn't matter. I was playing against myself. Or was I? Technically, I was playing against the odds. Probability, quantum fluctuations, whatever you call it. That... Oh, no. No. Oh, damn it, this is not good. Skippy, we need to turn the ship around. Gathering the cards, I stuffed them into a drawer, yanked a handle to unstrap myself from the seat in the cabin, and pushed off to float toward the cockpit. As Skippy mentioned, the starship was fully automated, except when Skippy was aboard. He still was restricted from making himself move, so he couldn't fly the ship or even order the ship to fly. The solution was for him to have a monkey give the orders. I could control the star carrier from the Panther's cockpit. Mostly, all I had to do was press a button to authorize the ship's own AI to engage whatever course Skippy programmed into the navigation system.
Whoa, whoa, slow your roll, Joe. What are you talking about?
I lost 29 games in a row. What are the odds of that? His avatar was above the pilot console, and he blinked at me.
You want me to quote statistics to you?
I guess not. It's highly unusual, isn't it?
That depends. A dog would lose every game.
I'm smarter than a dog, you ass.
You are unquestionably smarter than a dog, by some measures of intelligence. My point, and you are stupid for not understanding this, is... How dare you!
That this isn't natural. Joe, it's no shame that you have lost your mojo. It happens to a lot of guys, and I haven't lost my mojo. It has been taken away from me.
What?
The probability field. The outsider hacked it. You told me that field might have been helping us before. I didn't believe you. Now I can see the damned field is working against me. We are screwed. I strapped into the pilot seat and tapped the console to wake it up. No matter how fantastic a plan we have, we can't win against the outsider if it has the probability field working for it. Damn! I thumped the side of a fist on my thigh. I should have seen this before. It seems so obvious now. Program a course back to the wormhole. We'll jump as soon...
Wow. I did not expect this reaction.
You... What the fuck did he mean by that?
You expected something? You knew about this?
Well, duh.
Oh my... You knew the field was working for the enemy and...
No. Dumb, he chuckled. This is even more entertaining than if I had continued the experiment.
Experiment?
That made me freeze, my mouth open. You have 5 seconds to think of the best explanation ever.
Seriously, I have to explain this to you? Your mushy brain hasn't figured it out?
Figured out what? I am very disappointed.
This is my fault. I should have selected a smarter monkey to screw with.
Screw with? Holy...
You messed with the freaking playing cards? Ding, 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 ding! Winner, winner, chicken dinner! How could you screw with cards? I play with cards so you couldn't screw with me. I know, and I accepted that challenge. It wasn't a challenge, you ass! Really, Joe? Really? How the hell did you do it? Nanogel ink. The backs of the cards are unmarked standard ink. The fronts I could rearrange any way I wanted to make sure you lost, which you did, while having no clue what was going on. Hence, my disappointment. I feared you would suspect the truth after 10 games. I expected you would know something was wrong after 20 games. By 25, I was astonished that you blindly continued. That is when I started letting you almost win, then creating the most unlikely circumstances to ensure you lost. You little shithead. This is not my fault. You weren't paying attention. Isn't that what you military people call losing situational awareness? Crap, yes. Aha! So you admit this is your fault. It's not my fault. It was certainly not my fault, so winning card games was not the point. Playing wasn't the point. I wanted to lose situational awareness. Whoa. We should have brought another pilot with us. Shut up. We are 4 light-years from the closest star, and the ship will let me know if there is a problem. Skippy, how can you not understand this? Understand what? Losing focus, zoning out, letting my mind drift and freeing my subconscious to wander. That is how I dream up plans. Oh, well, I guess I'm sorry about that. You should be sorry. This is cool. You have a plan to stop the outsider, then? No. A plan for how to help the Porcines? Not that either. So, he shook his head sadly. This was all a waste of time? I wasn't finished. You interrupted me. Like that matters. Why did you have to screw with me? At first, it was just that I am even more bored than you. Then, it truly became a science experiment to measure just how dumb you are. You request me to help you, and this is the thanks I get? Maybe I will just turn the ship around right now. Maybe I will make sure the Joint Chiefs become aware of your shameful lack of intelligence. Fine. I relaxed back in the chair, which isn't easy in zero gravity. Go ahead. You pretend you don't care, but I do not care. You think you have a gun pointed to my head, but I know that gun is unloaded. DEFCOM doesn't expect me to do nerdy math and sciencey stuff. Nerdy math and sciencey stuff, he gasped. You mean the basis for all the technology we use out here? Whatever. DEFCOM has scientists and technicians and engineers for doing technology stuff. What they expect me to do is think outside the box. Way, way outside the box. There is no math or science to get outside the box, Skippy. That comes from, I tapped my skull, here. Ah, Thanos was right. He killed half of all life. That can't be, he did that in Infinity War. In Endgame, he realized he should burn the universe down completely and build a new, better reality. If I could do that, I would make a universe where I don't have to rely on a filthy, stinking monkey for brilliant insights. I weep, for your life is an unending series of tragic injustices. Oh, shut up. If there was any justice in this universe, that you have to make your own justice, Skippy. We... Huh. What? I just realized what we need to do when we get to Pigpen. What? I'll tell you when we get there. He stomped a foot. I want to know now! Hey, I want a friend who doesn't screw with me for his amusement. Science, Joe. It was for science. Bullshit. I'm taking a... I yawned, coming down off an adrenaline high. Nap. Wake me up an hour before we jump. From orbit, Pigpen could have been an image from an interstellar travel brochure. The surface was 83% water, more than the roughly 70 of Earth that was covered by oceans. It was springtime in Swinonia's southern hemisphere where most of the landmass was located, with lush green everywhere, except for a few dusty brown deserts in the mid-latitudes and bright white ice and snow at the poles. An unspoiled paradise. Or it was until some jackass beer can spoiled it. What do you see, Skippy? It's a mess down there, Joe. The knowledge of gunpowder and how to smelt metal to make cannons has spread much farther than I feared. Those societies who have relatively advanced technology have expanded beyond their original territories by conquering all the land around them. Darn it, I should never have taught them how to read and write. You gave them a form of writing? That was incredibly irresponsible.
Hey, I had to. Being able to pass knowledge down from generation to generation far more efficiently than word of mouth is the only way the Porcines can avoid having to start their civilizations from zero every 2,000 years. Ah, okay, I guess that was a good thing overall. Oh, crap, the tribes with cannons are slaughtering all the others? Thankfully, no. There hasn't been much need for violence. When primitive tribes see the power of cannons, they quickly surrender. Also, having advanced technology proves those who possess cannons also have the blessings of the Lord God Skippy, so defying them is defying me. Or defying the asshole submind I left in charge here. Lock that thing down now. Already did it, Joe. What now? Let me think a minute. You didn't tell me the piggies down there can read and write. That changes things a bit. Question. How many of them are literate? Just the priests. Why? Only the priests can read and write? To be clear, only my priests were blessed with the sacred mysteries of written speech. Priests who stubbornly cling to pagan religions are still bashing rocks together, while my faithful people are killing the pagans. Don't be so dramatic, dum-dum. It sounds like you are the problem here, Skippy. Hey, you jerk, you should shut up while I fix this mess. Tell me, you restricted literacy to the priesthood so they could control the population? You say it like that's a bad thing, he sniffed. That is an old technique for gaining and holding on to power, Joe. Knowledge is power. Control information, and you control everything. We don't have time to teach the general population to read. We shouldn't do that anyway. One of my teachings is that it is dangerous for the unholy to learn the sacred mysteries. Let me guess, that is an old technique also? You know it. How do we fix this? I would like to say the solution is dropping your beer can into a volcano from orbit, but that would only be satisfying for me. Did you come all the way here to help or not? To help. Good. What are we going to do? Well, you are going to hate this. Ugh, do I have to? Did you come all the way here to help these people or not? Yes, darn it. Tell me what to do. How does the Lord God shithead communicate with your priests down there? I landed stealthed, solar-powered bots equipped with holographic projectors. That's why not every village or hunting band of piggies received the word of Skippy. There aren't enough bots to cover all inhabited regions of the planet. These holograms can appear to anyone? Yes, and during festival days declared by, well, by me, the hologram appears to everyone. So most people down there have seen you and would recognize your image. Maybe not most people. About 45% of the population. That's close enough. Next question. How big can you make these holograms? Each bot can generate a hologram about 50 meters tall. Good. Taller means more piggies will see them. I want you to generate holograms everywhere you can, especially anywhere the piggies are fighting each other. Tell them you are very disappointed that the gifts you provided have been used to kill each other, and you want them to live together peacefully. Oh, good one, Joe. The Porcines will obey me and live in peace. No, they won't. But I will order them to be peaceful, and it doesn't matter. They will argue about what the Skippy really meant, or they will fight about which of them is the most peaceful. Seriously? I hate to say it. Yes, it's a meat sack thing. Meat sacks are the worst. I have to agree with you on that. Okay, after I announce my wishes that my followers live in peace, I have to stay here to make sure the piggies obey? No way. Any submind you task to do that will only make things worse. You will announce that you are so disappointed by the violence down there, the piggies are no longer worthy of having you as their god, and you are leaving. What? He screeched, throwing up his hands. That's not what I want! That is the only way to fix this mess. What will the piggies do without me? They will develop on their own without you interfering. They will find their own faith. Eventually, the Lord God Skippy will become only a legend, a brief period in their history. But I wanted to leave a legacy, Joe. You will have a legacy. You gave them a common language and a system of writing, although with all the dangerous stuff you gave them. The ability to write is the most dangerous technology I gave them. It is also how they will preserve their civilization the next time the volcanoes down there explode. The wormhole shift will open this area of the galaxy before the volcanoes explode, he sighed. The Porcines will be exploited by someone who doesn't care about them. Maybe not. Of course that will happen, dum-dum. If not the Max Holtz Coalition, then the Torgs, or your idiot people will come here to... No one will come here if you declare this star system is under your protection. Like that's gonna work. It can work.
The first time some species violates your protection order, all you have to do is crash the computer networks on their homeworld.
Oh.
That actually could work. It's worth a shot anyway. All right, before you make your announcement down there, show me exactly what you're gonna say. Do it with your hologram here. You don't trust me, not even one little bit. I guess that's fair. He went through four rehearsals until he got it right. I had to tone down his natural boasting assholishness. For the actual event, I had to trust him, since Piggy's speech is mostly grunts and squeals I couldn't understand. We waited 5 hours until it was daylight in the hemisphere that contained most of the inhabited continents. Then the giant holograms appeared, his voice booming out across the land. Did he embellish on what we rehearsed? Of course he did. It's Skippy. That's the best I can ask for. Okay, shut it down. But Joe, this is the greatest performance of my career. Shut it down now. You have no appreciation for the I said now. Fine. Done. Instruct your bots to disintegrate. They are not nanomachines. Then instruct them to jump in a lake or something and disable themselves. Do you have any idea how expensive those bots were to construct? It's cute that you think I care. Oh, he sighed. Bringing you here was a terrible idea. No, it was the best idea. Now fry your submind. I want that thing dead. That will be a pleasure. Done. What's next? The manifest shows this ship is carrying 6 drones. Launch them into an orbit that covers the entire surface. Why? So you can send this ship here once a decade or so and download data from the drones. Monitor how the piggies are doing. Oh, good idea. Prepping drones now. Make sure they don't develop nukes or something worse. Also a good idea. Drones have launched. Okay, we are out of here. Already? But we are out of here. I tapped an icon on the dropship's pilot console and the star carrier began to climb away from Swinonia. We jumped away after Skippy whined and protested that he didn't have a chance to properly say goodbye, and I vetoed his objections. That was one problem solved. Now all I had to do was figure out how to find the outsider, figure out its endgame, and stop it. Maybe I should have stayed on Pigpen. Skippy woke up the dormant wormhole again, and we had to wait for it to become stable before he could use it to create a shortcut. It was a good opportunity to review the mess at Pigpen. Skippy, I hope you learned a lesson from your interference with the porcines. Oh, wow. I sure did. There were so many things I did wrong there, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. Good. Then you won't do that next time I'm going to do things much differently. What? No! No, you idiot, there is not going to be a next time. You didn't learn any- Joe, you are not making sense. There has to be a next time. How will I know that I have learned the right lessons here if I don't do it again and succeed, or fail again, which would be tragic, but will also prove I did not learn the correct lessons the first time? Hiding my face behind my hands, I slowly mumbled, I can't believe you would be so reckless again. After that's how science works, numbskull. You can't prove a theory without testing it. The lesson is do not interfere in the development of primitive beings. Wow. We each came away from that disaster with completely different ideas of what went wrong. Unfortunately, you have no clue about... I will break this down Barney style for you. Do not play God again. Well, I certainly agree with that. Oh. Okay, maybe we're not so far apart on a planet near the... I probably shouldn't tell anyone the location. There is a planet with sort of slugs that have achieved a rudimentary level of intelligence. With a few minor genetic modifications and my personal guidance, the slugs could... You want to double down on your screw-up by creating your own client species? Exactly. See, next time, I will get in on the ground floor and not have to clean up a bunch of messes that accumulated before I arrived. So, can you please, please, promise me you will not interfere with any other species until after we deal with the outsider? Like that's ever going to happen, Joe. If I don't bless the slugs with my guidance now, I will lose the opportunity. At least there is that silver lining to the outsider conquering the galaxy, I muttered. What? You jerk. I should one problem at a time, please. It's cute when you say that. When has the universe ever allowed you to tackle one problem at a time? Shit, never. Do you have any idea how to even figure out what the outsider's objective is? No, I had to admit. Well, he sniffed. You go do whatever it is you do. Make yourself a sandwich. Meanwhile, I will be making plans to improve the miserable lives of an entire species. Skippy's advice usually sucks, so it's rare that I do anything he suggests. In that case, I did go to the Panther's tiny galley station after we went through the wormhole. The Star Carrier was just drifting there while Skippy made sure the dormant wormhole went back to sleep, and he tried to convince both of the network controllers that the shortcut was harmless and even beneficial. He would probably lose that argument. For some reason no one could understand, beings across the galaxy tend not to trust him. Anyway, I dug through the small fridge, checking the labels on sandwiches. None of them appealed to me, though I had made all of them aboard Valkyrie. What I wanted wasn't a sandwich, nor any of the other pre-made food that I just had to heat up. After being stuck aboard the Panther in zero-gravity conditions that mess up my taste buds, I wanted something different, something new. In addition to the pre-packaged meals, there was a pantry locker of ingredients so I could make something. What? While I stared at the open locker, I had no idea. That was the problem. "What are you looking for, Joe?" Skippy asked. "Nothing. You have been staring into the pantry for 5 minutes. You must be looking for something." "I don't know what I'm looking for yet. I know it when I see it. It drives Margaret crazy when you do that with the refrigerator door open." "Yeah, she always asks me what I want." "What do you want?" "Inspiration. That's why I said I'll know it when I see it. Go away, please." "Hmph," his avatar winked out. Inspiration about making a lunch was not the problem. My mind wasn't stuck on food. It was just stuck overall. Skippy's promise that I would have plenty of time to find a solution to defeat the outsider was true. He had mostly left me alone to think. That hadn't helped. We had been in orbit around Pigpen for less than 9 hours, and our return trip would cut 2 hours off the outbound flight. Soon, we would be back at the automated servicing station and aboard Valkyrie, where all I could tell Reed was that we had fixed Skippy's mess, and that no, I still had no plan for what Task Force Black should do next, other than waiting to respond to the outsider again, which was unsat. I suck. Yes, boo-hoo for me. Poor Joey can't save the galaxy again. There are hundreds, thousands, even millions of intelligent beings and AIs across the galaxy working on the outsider problem. It wasn't only my responsibility. Except in an important way it was. Whatever solution there was, if the outsider could be stopped, it would require the uniquely awesome magnificence of Skippy. No one knew better what he could do and couldn't do. Especially, I knew how to get him to do things he never considered he could do. Like jumping a starship through a wormhole, or holding open a micro-wormhole so we could shoot a starship's maser cannon through it. Shit. Nagging the back of my mind was a fear that if Master Control AIs like Skippy were capable of dealing with the outsider threat, the Elders would not have bothered to ascend. One problem at a time. Get something to eat first. Staring at the ingredients in the pantry, I wondered what I could make. Or, my brain told me, instead of reinventing the wheel, I could type a list of the available ingredients into my phone and see what other people had made with them. I had forgotten the first rule of research. When you have a problem or a question, see if anyone has already solved it. Duh. It felt like... Holy shit. I breathed to myself. Had I spoken aloud? Skippy didn't respond the way he usually did. I didn't need to agonize over finding a way to kill the outsider. I just had to discover how someone else had planned to do that. A moment later, I was back in the pilot seat, unwrapping a sandwich. "Seriously?" Skippy demanded, hands on his hips. "After all that pondering, you're eating a turkey sandwich? Turkey and provolone with mayo and mustard?" I bit into the delicious treat since I was suddenly hungry. "I got a question for you." "Yeah, yeah, I know. When will I be done chatting with the wormhole controller, right?" "It's done, Mr. Smartypants. I finished 4 minutes ago. I didn't tell you, so I didn't interrupt the very important thing you were doing." He rolled his eyes. "Thanks. It was important, and that was not my question." "Yes, the next jump is programmed in for you, and the one after that." "Thank you, and thank you, and that still wasn't my question. Is this your attempt to make me beg to hear the idiotic so-called thoughts in your head? Because you can forget about it, monkey boy. I do not care," he sniffed. "Okay, well, forget it then. I secured the sandwich in a container on the side of the pilot's chair and glanced at the instruments. Green across the board, all systems ready for jump, including my lunch. "Jump us back toward Valkyrie." A tap of a button and the Star Carrier jumped. It was good that I had something in my stomach. Skippy had set up his ship's drive for efficiency, not smooth operation. The jumps were a bit rough on a meat sack. I hadn't gotten used to them and hoped I wouldn't ever have to.
You're not going to ask your question? Fine. See if I care.
I know you don't, so I am not stupid, Joe. I am not playing your twisted mind game.
Well, I'm not playing a game. I know you're way too smart for that.
Good.
Yes, I nodded while unwrapping the sandwich again.
I'm glad to hear we agree.
Right, I mumbled through a mouthful of food. 100%.
I suppose it would be okay if you gave me a hint.
No, I don't want to take up any of your valuable time.
Well, there is that.
I'll just play some solitaire once I'm done with lunch.
Okay. Or, you know, you could ask your question.
Are you sure?
He shrugged.
Well, if you like.
Nah, it's important, but your time is more important, so
tell me! Tell me, tell me, tell me!
All right. I forced myself not to laugh with food in my mouth. If I choked, the closest medical care was a long way.
Here's the question. What weapon system did the elders build to kill an outsider?
Whoa. Right?
This is not good. You have lost your mind.
My mind is working just fine, Skippy.
No, it is not. There is no such weapon. The bullshit. The freaking elders were paranoid. They created a security system that had three independent systems that had to work together so no one component could act on its own. They set up a system to prevent any intelligent life from developing, just in case that life might someday pose a threat to the power flow that kept the elders in an ascended state. Do not tell me that the entire time between when the elders nuked the matter transmitter thing and when they ascended, they did not even try to create a defense.
If they did, they failed.
Again, this is bullshit and you know it. They would not have taken the risk of ascending, leaving the galaxy wide open for invasion, unless they had a defense that is effective against their primary threat.
Hey, Knucklehead, in case you haven't been paying attention, the Elders did set up a defense to prevent an invasion.
The barrier, remember?
The barrier is one system. Do you actually believe the Elders didn't have a backup defense?
Exactly.
This does not prove anything.
What is the protocol if the barrier fails and an outsider gains access to the galaxy?
I should kiss my ass goodbye? Be serious, please.
Hey, I'm being as serious as you are.
What do you mean by protocol?
You recognize the outsider's quantum signature, something like that.
Correct. It was at the top of my threat matrix, I told you that.
Right. So the elders programmed you to know the outsider is a threat. What did they program you to do in response?
Knowing there is a threat is kinda useless unless you do something about it.
I know that, dum-dum.
The elders are the dum-dums if they didn't tell you what you're supposed to do to stop an invasion.
I don't know what to say, Joe. Apparently they didn't.
Shit.
Not having a second layer of defense does not sound like the elders I knew, so I have to agree there should be something out there.
And you are absolutely correct. There should be a list of instructions for master control AIs for us to follow in response to the number one threat on the freaking list.
Let's go back to basics. What was your first thought when you realized that Moon Raider was an outsider?
My first thought was endless joy that I was right and you were wrong. Moon Raider was not an Elder AI.
What was your first helpful thought?
Truthfully, it was, wow, we are so screwed.
That is not exactly helpful.
You asked for my reaction, that was it.
Okay, try this again.
When the threat matrix popped up in your database, whatever, what was your reaction then?
It was, yep, we are screwed for sure.
You didn't feel a need to do anything?
I felt a need to inform you that we are screwed.
Whoever programmed your threat response, they sucked. I won't argue with you about that.
Sorry for wasting your time.
Ah, it was worth a shot. It's now clear that my creators were not only first-degree assholes, they were negligent.
If you could get into your matrix and see the code, or whatever, you would be like a plumber coming to someone's house.
You mean plumber like a lonely housewife calls, and
I meant you would do what every plumber does. You look at the pipes and say you have no idea what the previous plumber was thinking. The guy must have been an idiot.
Really?
Trust me, that is chapter one in the plumber's manual.
I don't have actual code, and I can't see most of it. But you're right, that whoever set up my alert system was a moron.
The instant he snapped his fingers with a convincing sound, my sensors detected the outsider's signature, my threat matrix should have popped up with a warning. Instead, I had to run the signature through my database, and even after I knew it was from an outsider, my threat matrix didn't activate. I had to ask the thing whether it had that threat on the list. You said it did pop up.
Yes, but only after I prodded the stupid thing. It all happened in like a nanosecond of monkey time. I didn't bother telling you the details. That thing is like an airbag that deploys after a crash when you're trying to get out of the car.
Maybe it's a known bug and they issued a patch. Have you subscribed to automatic updates?
You are hilarious.
That was also when I started hearing that annoying alarm.
What alarm?
There is no alarm. It's one of those things that you think is there right at the limit of your hearing, but when you try to find the source, it's nothing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. When I was little, my family went to Florida to visit my uncle.
Is that when your uncle found a gator in his garage and trapped it in a trash can?
The gator knocked over the mini-fridge and ate all the fish my uncle had caught. He was salty about that. Maybe keeping fish in a garage wasn't a great idea. My aunt didn't allow the fish to be in the house fridge, so...
Is it true your uncle got that gator drunk on Captain Morgan rum?
Nah, there were just a couple of empty bottles in the trash can.
The trash gets picked up every week. If you have more than one empty bottle of Captain Morgan, you might need help. That's why my aunt didn't allow my uncle in the house much.
Anyway, no, I'm talking about the time he took my father and I out on his boat and he hit a sandbar, and we were stuck there for 3 hours until the tide floated us off because my uncle was too cheap to call a towboat.
Oh, sounds like good times.
My uncle and father drank half a case of beer, then it started raining. Anyway, my point is, my uncle lived in an old Florida bungalow and I slept out on the screened porch. The sound of the bugs at night I got used to, but for 2 nights I kept hearing a high-pitched beeping sound that was driving me crazy. No one else could hear it. That first morning, I searched all over, but with cars driving by and people running lawnmowers, the beeping was drowned out. The second night, I got up after midnight and walked around with a flashlight. That was stupid because I got eaten alive by no-see-ums. I did find the source of the sound,